I tell you, I can't imagine what I wouldn't have, what I'd be if it wasn't for Jesus. Thank God for his goodness. Somebody touch me.
Somebody touch me. Somebody touch me. I was blind, but praise his name. I now am free. I was in darkness when Jesus found me. But since he touched me, I now am free.
Hand stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat.
Well, it's the story of a blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free.
Then one day he touched that crippled man and made him walk again. And then the master saw with pleasure he had labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I once was bound in sin, but since the master came, oh praise his name, thank God I now can see.
Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me,
I now am free.
I now am free. Thank God I'm free.
Glory in the cross.
Of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior. See from his head, his hands, his feet, compose so rich a a crown. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Guilty, vile, and helpless, we spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement. Can it be? Alleluia, alleluia. Would the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, the Almighty God, the Son of God, shouldst die for me?
One of the joys of hosting a conference like this, you get to choose preachers, not only, and singers, not only that you think that would be a blessing to others, but those that have been a blessing to you. And Brother Thorpe, thank you for being a faithful, faithful man of God. These are all, you say, man, they're singers. No, they're preachers. And they love God, love the Word of God, and they all three pastor churches. And believe it or not, they get together three or four, five, six times a year in conferences and sing together. And what a blessing. Our next speaker pastors the Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Brother Terry Angel's a preacher. A Bible preacher. And I thank God for him. He got saved when he was 18 years old. Called of God, went to Bible college, prepared his life, met his wife. They've been married 30 years. God gave them 6 children. How many grandchildren you got now? 4 and 1 on the way. They'll be leaving next, the end of this week or next week, early next week, going to see their missionary son in Madagascar. What a blessing. For 19 years now, he's been pastor at Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And what a blessing he is. We love him. We thank God for his friendship. And he'll never know how much his faithful preaching has encouraged and inspired me. You listen to Dr. Terry Angel as he comes tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Smith. It's a joy to be back down here in this wonderful place. This is a great place to be able to come and not only fellowship with you preachers and folks that we don't cross paths with often, but just to be around Brother Bob Smith. It's a joy, as Brother Ray has already said so wonderfully and so accurately. It's always an encouragement to be around him. And I appreciate his vision, his spirit. That's been talked about already. And it's not just hot air. It's the honest truth. He's all the time excited about something that's going on at his church here or around the nation, around the world. And so it's exciting and encouraging to be with Brother Smith. Let me ask you to open your Bible to Daniel chapter 5. I've enjoyed the music. I enjoy the Tharp brothers and the other music we've heard already this week. I think, personally, I think singers get a break. And by the way, I know these men are not just singers. They all three preached at Brother Gomez's conference here just a few weeks ago, and one every morning, and they did a tremendous job. They all came out of the Dr. Tom Malone tree, if you will, up in Michigan. And man, they're great preachers, and their dad was a preacher, grandpa. But I think singers get a break from congregations. You know that? I think singers get a break more than preachers do. A singer can get started in a song, and he'll sing a part of one song, then he'll go to a part of another song, and he'll go to a part of another song, and a part of another song, and people just eat it up. They just love it, just keep on and on and on, and the more different songs they sing, the better it gets. Well, I got how many sermons I got in this book right here? I got 14 messages in this book this morning, and I was thinking while Brother Darren was singing, maybe I'll preach two or three pages out of sermon number one, then I'm going to preach three or four pages out of sermon number four, and I'm going to preach five or six pages out of sermon number eight, and see if I get the same response, amen, from the congregation that he got. But no, I'm just teasing. God bless you. Great singing. I have enjoyed the preaching so far. Brother Cox always, God's always used him to stir my heart. And it's a special privilege to preach with Brother Mike Ray from time to time, not often, but time to time. We were roommates in Bible college over 30 years ago. And, you know, I look around at some of the fellows I was in school with over 30 years ago, and they were as sincere and really had a heart to serve God as much as Brother Ray and I did. But just to be able to preach with somebody who's still the same as he was back in Bible college. And you talk about not changing. This guy hadn't changed. I really think there must have been something in the water at the Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for the same place to produce Mike Ray and Cecil Ballard. Amen? I mean, I'm telling you, they are. I don't know what happened down there. But anyway, to get to preach with him is a certain privilege. And, of course, my dear friend, Brother Gomez, I was rejoicing last night hearing Mike tell about his son, Stephen, and what God did for him. I've had the privilege of being around Brother Ray's family just a little time, and being around Stephen. What he said about Stephen is true. The boy loves God, has a real heart for serving God. To sit back last night and hear what God did for his son just blessed my heart. Amen. And I enjoyed that. Now, I have a short message this morning. I figured I better plan a short message since I was preaching after Brother Mike Ray. And I knew he'd be asking for some time from my slot, you know. I said, you know what, that's not going to offend me. If he wants some of my time, I'm going to give it to him. But what did offend me was Daryl Cox giving some of my time away. Amen. So, I mean, if you're going to give time away, give your own time away, Brother Cox, not somebody else's. And he sat over and said, preach as long as you want. Did y'all hear that? Preach as long as you want to. You know what I think? I think it's a vendetta that short guys have against tall guys. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is this morning. Amen. So, Brother Gomez, they shorted us. Amen, brother. That's big guys. So, anyway, I've enjoyed it. Let's stand together, please, in Daniel chapter 5. And, boy, we got a lot of youngins. I like what Brother Cox was being honest last night when he said, man, you come to a meeting like this and you pray in advance and you bring some messages but you want to be plugged into the right one, you know. And of course, the Word of God works. Amen. And isn't that good to have confidence in that book right there, friend? If you preach that book, God will use it somehow, some way. But you're really trying to find where the Holy Ghost is going. I was that way this morning and even last night. And I just sat back there with Brother Grice. He's been a gracious host. I've enjoyed his fellowship and looked at all these young people sitting here this morning. I'm going to have a slot, Lord willing, tonight. Unless Brother Ray takes that one too, amen. No, I'm just teasing. I have a slot tonight, I think lead direction of adults tonight. But this is not just for teenagers, but it probably leans, canters toward the young people more than it does to the adults this morning. So I hope you kids will give us a listen this morning. Look at verse number 1, Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the party's over. The party's over. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please use the message this morning. God, you know the burden on my heart for our young people back at Faith Baptist, for the young people of our area, our churches that fellowship together and play ball together and go to camps and conferences together. And Lord, I look out this morning and I see the same thing here in Texas, and these schools probably play each other in ball and have activities and conferences and camps together. Oh God, how we need the next generation to serve you. And I pray that you'll please, Lord, give us some preventative medicine this morning, preventative maintenance, and I'll thank you for it. Bless the message in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Brother Eric, am I okay here? Is this thing cutting out or is it okay? Should I put it down here on my, either way, sound men or... I looked up there, we were doing the singing, and I asked Brother Smith, I said, is this already on? He said, yes. He said, in fact, Brother Coombs can hear you talking. We were singing the song, What Sins Are You Talking About? So I started singing, Sound Men Are Retarded, and he was listening to that up there. Amen. He could hear me singing while I was singing that. I can get away with that because I taught him in school a little bit, and so that's why he's retarded. Amen. So got it from his teacher. The party's over. Party hardy. Party hardy. Wine, dancing, music, lewdness, sensuality. Brother, it was in full gear. Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and I know the Bible uses the term father, Nebuchadnezzar being his father, but the Bible uses the term father about father and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather. Belshazzar was actually Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather. So Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, was the host of this great gathering. 1,000 lords had been invited. That's a lot of folk. That'd be like throwing a party in Washington, D.C., and all the senators attending, and all the House of Representatives attending, and all the Supreme Court justices attending, and all the Department of Treasury attending, and all the Department of Agriculture, all the president's cabinet and the vice president, 1,000 lords, and that, and all the others who came with them, their wives or their girlfriends and their bodyguards and their group they brought along. So there were a lot of people at this wild, wild, wild. When Belshazzar was good and drunk, he called for the gold and the silver vessels that were taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And he ordered that they were be brought to the party. I can hear him over the laughter and the loudness and the silliness and all the immaturity. And I can hear his whole loud booming voice, hey! Hey, here are the gold and the silver vessels that came out of the temple in Jerusalem, the Jewish temple. And we took them, we brought them here along with those Jewish people, and fill them with wine and drink from them. And let's worship the Jewish God with these. And I can hear the laughter and the shouts and the pride and the arrogance and the mocking and the taunting of the one true God. Whatever silly debate, doesn't even need to be a debate, whatever silly debate that involves Bob Jones University, some of these other places right now, about whether God allows for social drinking in the Bible, and it's okay to drink a little wine here and there and stuff. And so I tell you what, I don't need a debate, friend. All I need is one verse in my Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, an exegesis or a doctor bottle stopper to figure out that if God said something was a mocker and was raging, he wouldn't allow for us to have a little sip of it every now and again. I don't know where we're going in our ranks. We're trying to Christianize everything. We already got Christian rock. And now I guess we got Christian wine. I don't know what's next. Christian Budweiser. I guess just put the name of Jesus on some can. Or Christian marijuana. Maybe praise the Lord on the little zigzag paper as they roll the joint. I don't know. This is the most crazy thing I've ever seen in my life. And they want to write books about it. I don't need a book. There's already been a book written about it. It says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And kids, if that's your intention to find out if the Bible allows, does God allow? That's just always trying to find out what God will let me do. Why can't I do this? What can I get by with? Let me tell you something. That stuff ought never touch your lips. And the strongest young person in this room this morning is not the one who's already experienced it. The strongest young person in this room this morning is the one whose lips have never tasted alcoholic beverage. You lose your judgment, you lose your discernment, you drop your morals. It's the damage you do to other people. I never forget years ago when I was still at Brother Brown's place, one of our good men, his wife played the organ, Darlene Owen. He and Darlene were on a trip to Kansas at Christmas time to see her family and had the kids with them, and they were traveling in a conversion van down the road, and he drove a long way, and then he wanted to sleep a little bit, so he put Darlene at the wheel, and he was in the back of that conversion van trying to get a little sleep. And she said, Ed, said, there's a car up in front of me here on the road swerving all over. I said, I think he's drunk. And had said cell phones were just starting to be used. And he said, well, call. Let's call, see if we can get a hold of a policeman, see if we can call somebody. And before they could get a hold of a policeman, here a fella swerved, and a lady and her daughter come in this direction. And that guy swerved and hit him head on. I mean, cars spun around, glass, everything going crazy. Brother Owen got out of his, she stopped the car, Darlene stopped the van, and Ed got out of the car and went up to where the not the drunk's car, but the other car, and he could tell right away that the Hispanic lady who was driving the vehicle was dead on impact. Her daughter screaming over there, screaming and blood flying everywhere, and then this old sot comes stumbling up to the car. What happened? What happened? What happened? Ed said it was all he could take. And he said, I'll tell you what happened. And he did 180, had his fist balled up and just cold cocked the guy right in the face, knocked him right out cold on the pavement. In Christian love. Then told him, Brother Ray, that Jesus loved him. Amen. Covered up all that stuff. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Here's this wild, mocking, taunting, laughter, proud, arrogant, shouting, mocking the God of heaven. And it's one thing to read about this going on in the nation of Babylon amongst unsaved heathen people. I'm going to tell you what's, in my opinion, 100 times worse. There's some young people who grew up in our independent fundamental Baptist churches and graduated from our independent fundamental Baptist schools and went to some of our independent fundamental Baptist colleges end up at a scene like this. Once in a while I hear news about young adults who used to come to Faith Baptist Christian school before I got there. When I got there, I closed the school for 5 years. Because we just had, the church was a mess. The whole ministry needed some attention, and the church needed more attention than the school did. So I just closed the school, and then we restarted it 5 years later. And I'll hear about graduates from Faith Baptist Christian School before I came, or I'll hear about graduates of Faith Baptist Academy, and they get together. Maybe one of them that lives away at a distance now comes into town, and they get together at a restaurant or a place that sells beer, or at some house, or at some place, and the music is playing, and the alcohol is passed around, and they laugh at the school they used to attend, and they laugh about the church they used to attend. They mock the rules, and they laugh about our school convention, and got a little website started, I Survive Pilots, and all this stuff. And it's sad. Some who graduated way back before I was there, some who graduated when we were in Dwight with Brother Woodward, some who dropped out, some who had received the diploma from Faith Baptist Academy. And you know what? A lot of times it's not just the kids from our church. Brother Gomez and Miss Kim were traveling down to preach somewhere, and he called and said, coming through your town, let's meet for lunch. We went over to Cracker Barrel, and we had a nice lunch together, and then we went to the truck, and he said, man, I got something to break your heart. And he took out a file folder about that thick, and he said, I want you to see these pictures, and started getting pictures that some of his staff had pulled off Facebook. And there were some of his young people, and I'm not talking anything against them. I asked him if I could say this. There were some of the young people out of his church. There were some of the young people out of my church. There were some of the young people out of the other churches in our area. Young people who went to camp together. Young people who went to Bible conference together. Young people who had activities together. And the alcohol's flowing. And the lewd dress and the lewd poses and the gang signs. And picture after picture after picture after picture after picture. The mocking and the taunting and the shouting and the alcohol and the immorality and the sensuality. Young person, I hope none of you ever ends up at a party like that. That's an awful thing, not just disrespectful of parents, not just disrespectful of preacher, not just disrespectful of pastor and church and school and classmates, but disrespectful of God and disrespectful of the Bible. You say, Brother Angel, why are you telling us that now? Because you won't listen then. So I'm trying to tell you now, don't show up, don't end up at a party like that. Let me tell you something. When they start mocking church and school, it can get God active in bringing the party to a halt. Y'all know that? I read verse number 5, in the same hour, when all that mocking and all that laughter and all that taunting and all that silliness, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Began to write on the drywall, the plaster of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I tell you, verse number 6, the party's over. The king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed. I think this is funny. And his knees smote one against another. One minute he is mocking and taunting the God of the Jewish people and the God of the Jewish temple. And the next moment he's so out of control, his knees are knocking together. He's so scared, he can't control his own muscular system. The party is over. And everything is halted. As the fingers of this man's hand begins to write on the wall of that wild palace party. In verses number 22 and 23, they call for Daniel. His mother comes and says, Daniel's the one you need to call for. He asked his soothsayers and the Chaldeans, and they couldn't interpret it. And they finally got Daniel in the party. You know that. And down at verse number 25, you've got the interpretation of that thing. This is the writing that was written, meaning, meaning, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Verse number 30 says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Young people, the party is over. It's over suddenly. It's over convincingly. And I beg you this morning, if you haven't already made some promises to your Heavenly Father up above about your morality and what you'll put in your lips and what you'll allow your eyes to see and how you'll allow yourself to behave with the opposite gender, I hope to my soul that before this conference is over, maybe at the invitation time when Brother Gomez is finished preaching, you'll come to the altar this morning and promise God you'll never be at a party like this one. Make some holy promises to God. I got 3 things to say, and I'll say them in a hurry, and I'll be done. Number 1, God is a patient and long-suffering God. I'm glad that He is. God is extremely patient with His people. God is patient with those who are saved, who are far, far away. He's extremely patient, a patient God. I love what Ezra said about God over in his book. He said, "Our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve." Aren't you glad that God doesn't call us to the woodshed every time we have occasion to go there? Some of us would spend our time there. What a place we'd be. Our God is a very, very patient God. But I want to say to you, young people, number 2 this morning, God's patience has limits. His patience has limits. And as wonderfully patient as God is, there is a limit to His patience. Remember, young people, that the Bible says God is a God of equity. God is a God of justice. That means that our God is an equal God. All of His attributes are in perfect balance one with each other. Those of us in this room, us humans, we have a hard time balancing our attributes. We have a tendency to be one way or the other. People have a hard time balancing everything. We have a tendency to be either too hard or too soft or too patient or too impatient or too nice or too mean or too much wrath or too much love. But God's attributes are all perfectly balanced. He is all love, but He is also all wrath. He is all patience, but He is also all action. His attributes are perfectly balanced. And young people, when God acts, He does it suddenly. Suddenly. The party is on in full gear 1 minute. The liquor is flowing. The gang signs are being shown. The laughter, the lewdness, the touching, all of that going on. And then boom, the hand shows up and Daniel comes in and the party is over. Belshazzar is killed in the same night. Now, I'm not threatening you this morning with the fact that God is going to kill you if you show up at a party like this, but I'm going to tell you something, young people. You listen to me very carefully. I'm convinced that there are young people in heaven already whose lives were cut short because they mocked and taunted the God of heaven too long. Too long. Familiar to this part of the country is the ministry and story of Dr. J. Frank Norris, I believe the founder of Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches. Pastored two churches at the same time. Can you imagine that? One in Texas and one in Michigan. Great churches. Running well into the, I guess, over 5,000 in some cases down here at Fort Worth. And, of course, he was a battler. He was a fighter. Man, he fought against sin. He was a sensational type preacher, theatrical, and put things in the newspaper, advertise, and say, come here this Sunday, the banker in town who's buying pantyhose for other men's wives. Come find out who the banker is. And they said they would pack the place out. Folks across the street. Everything. I mean, he's crazy. Wild. And I believe it was the Tarrant County. Was it Tarrant County where this church is? The Tarrant County Liquor Retailers Association. He took on fighting alcohol. His preaching was so much against alcohol. And they got angry. And at an associational meeting of all the liquor retailers in the area and the county, the president of that association stood up and made big boasts about running J. Frank Norris out of town and we'll kill him if we have to, and made all these boasts against the man of God. As I understand, read the story, after he got done speaking at that retail association meeting, he took off in his vehicle with the back seat packed full of liquor, headed somewhere out in the country to deliver, to make drop it off or something, and he come to a railroad crossing and saw the train coming and thought he could beat the train and tried to get across the tracks in front of the train, and the train hit that car. Strode broken car parts and broken body parts. Broken liquor bottles for yards down the tracks. Now, I don't know how this happened, but one of the people who was at the scene cleaning up afterwards happened upon a broken liquor bottle that was broke open, still had a little liquor in it, and had a piece of that man's brain lobe in it. Put it in his vehicle and brought it to J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris took it to his pulpit. A broken liquor bottle with a little whiskey left in it and the man's brain in it, piece of his brain. Put it on the pulpit and preached on, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." We need that kind of preaching again. You know, people, when God acts, He does it suddenly. I'm not going to stand up here this morning and go through the stories that I've got, and then The next preacher could go through the stories that he's got, and then we can call a preacher from over here, or the Silvertooth can come and give you the stories he's got, and then the Tharp brothers can all come one by one and give you the stories they got. Then Brother Horton can come and give you the stories he's got, and then Brother Fugit can come and give you the stories he's got. We could stand up and we could fill the rest of the day with stories about young people that were born, birthed into the nurseries of our independent fundamental Baptist churches and taught in our Sunday schools and taught in our classrooms of our grade schools and went to our youth conferences and our youth groups and our youth camps and so forth and so on, and then ended up at a party like this, taunting God and mocking God and laughing at things that are holy and pure and right. And I'm going to tell you, young people, this morning, our God is patient and our God is loving, and He is all His mercy and grace, but He is also a God of justice and wrath. And when you get Him in the mood, He can end the party real quick. Now here's my challenge. You don't even want to be on the invitation list of a party like this. You know what's amazing? I guess this is probably one group over here, one school over here, Brother Smith. And I see another school over here. And some more over here, maybe a school back here and a school back here, I believe. I don't know. Really not sure where all you folks are from. See, some of your pastors sitting with you, but you know the honest truth of the matter is, we could take all the teenagers in this building this morning, empty all the adults out of here, empty all the chaperones out of here, and just leave nothing but you teenagers, you 7th through 12th graders. And we'll tell you what, all the good, give it about maybe 24 hours, maybe 36 hours, Brother Eric, and all the kids whose hearts are right and pure and clean and want to serve God, they'll find each other. And then all the rebels, in 24 hours or less, you'll find each other. Brother Gomez, that's what's happened at our places up north. Brother Ballard and you and Brother Woodward and us and Tom McMurtry and all of our churches up there do all these things together. Our kids done got each other pegged now. They know the rebels from... I guess I'm kind of talking about the underbelly of our churches this morning. Let's talk about the reality of it. Yeah, I preach tonight on maybe church growth or soul winning or something like that, and I'm excited about that. Our church is excited. Things are going good. And I'm going to tell you, there's an underbelly. And I don't care how many big days you have and how many folks you have saved and baptized. You want to gut a preacher? You want to cut his guts out? You let him watch his young people go to the devil. I don't know what it is. You can see adults saved. You can see a Sunday morning, a husband and wife walk the aisle together to get saved. I mean, hand in hand, they were actually married. And it was a man and a woman. The same color. Amen. It's a blessing. That can happen, and you rejoice and thrill, but yet, brother, when I hear reports through the grapevine that some of the kids who we handed a diploma to some years ago end up at a stupid party with a bunch of gang signs and liquor flowing, it cuts my gut. Amen. You're the future. There's only so much we can do with that man and his wife who got saved on Sunday morning. But my gracious, young people, you 14-year-olds and you 16-year-olds and you 18-year-olds, if Jesus stays in heaven and doesn't come in the rapture, you are the future of the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement. We can't afford to have you at parties like this. You can't afford to be at a party like this. In fact, you don't even want to be on the invitation list. I think about old Dan Thomason. He never was on the invitation list for a party like this. He's got 5 kids now. Him and his wife had 3 kids, and then they had twins, went from 3 to 5. He's working a job in the area, sings specials, sings in the choir, plays in the orchestra, does 3, 4, and 5-year-old primary church, is a bus captain. I mean, just happily serving God today. Comes with his wife and those 5 children. One of his boys got saved, and we had the privilege of baptizing them this past Sunday night. Old Dan Thomason never was on the invitation list to a party like this. Think about old Larry Johnson, no boy outreached, walking down the alley in Kankakee years ago, back in the early 90s, walking down the alley between two streets, and come upon him and his brother and his sister playing, and invited them to come to church, black kids. And they got on the bus, and Gerald and his sister Nicole, and Larry got saved, got baptized, stayed in church, never got out, went to Bible college and graduated. And I kept telling him, Larry, you wait, God will give you a good wife. And boy, he did. He gave her a wife. He gave Larry a wife. And I remember when they stood at the altar, at the wedding altar, and her mother had died when she was, I think, 15 or 16, and Larry's mother had died a year before, got murdered in Kankakee. And after we pronounced them husband, after we had the ring exchange and had the prayer during the unity candle song, they lit the unity candle, and then they took two white roses. And they put a white rose where her mother would sit, and they put a white rose where his mother would sit. And then they came back up and stood in front of me, and that big old boy, the old tears were just coursing down his cheeks. And we'll forget, she took her little hands, and she leaned over during the song and wiped the tears as they came off his cheeks. Man, it just got in our church like got so thick you can't believe it. Now he's running our Abundant Life ministry, the addiction ministry, trying to help fellas. He was raised all around the cocaine, raised all around the alcohol, raised all around it. Stayed out of it! His name was never on an invitation list to a party like this. And Naomi Griffin, who's now Naomi Bragg, our principal's wife, and one of our pianists, and a singer, and a church secretary, her name was never on the invitation list to a party like this. And Hannah Angel, who became Hannah Walker, married to Brother Gomez, is a Christian school administrator. Her name was never on the invitation list to a party like this. And Caitlin McDonald, who's married to a young evangelist, her name was never on the invitation list to a party like this. And Joseph Maxwell, who's helping over in Louisiana, Brother Hurd's ministry, his name was never on the invitation list to a party like this. And Jake Payne, who just graduated from Providence Baptist College, his name was never on the invitation list to a party like this. Ask them if they regret it. Ask them. Young people, where you sit this morning in the 8th grade, where you sit this morning in the 10th grade, where you sit this morning in the 11th or 12th grade, I hope by God's grace you'll make some holy promises in your heart between you and your God in heaven. Say, well, God, you being my help, I'll listen to my dad, I'll listen to my mom, I'll listen to my preacher, I'll listen to my youth pastor, I'll listen to those who want to help me, and God, by your grace, I'll never be at a party like this. In fact, my name will never be found on the invitation list. Those kids kind of know who to invite, Brother Darren. They know who. Well, let's call him. Oh, yeah, get a hold of him. Let's call her. Yeah, get a hold of her. Let's get them. I bet Brother Richard Way's name was never on the invitation list down in Gainesville, Texas. They know who to call. And they know who not to call. Let's call him. No, no, don't call him. Let's call her. No, 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 don't call her. That's who you want to be. The one they say, don't call. Dear Father, take these simple thoughts and this brief message and do what only you can do with it. Maybe, Lord, I just shot an arrow this morning, and we'll never know till years later what you did with it. I pray, oh God, that you'll impact the lives of these young people to the place where they'll never end up at a party like this. They'll never even make the invitation list. May their prayer be today, Lord, I don't ever want my name on a list for a party like that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. That's wonderful, wonderful.